Remind all participants, this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
All righty, everyone. How are you today? This is J. Scott Evans. Today is Wednesday, October 6th, 2010. This is a meeting of the working group work team that is developing guidelines to assist chartering organizations and work team members, working group members, and chairs with the parameters of running and participating in a working group. Today we have on the call Aubrey Doria. Goodbye, I apologize. I don't know your last name. If you would say it for the record.
That is my last name.
Okay.
My first name is I don't use. So.
Okay, goodbye. We have Jonas. And Jonas, how do you pronounce your last name? Shonen?
So it's Jonas Soininen.
All right, that's a lot of nenens for me. Myself, James Evans, and Cheryl Langdon Orr, who from Australia I can get, because we're all sort of...
Yeah, we're not even speaking this here in Australia. Come on.
That is everyone who is on our call today. So, as all of you know, we circulated about 3 weeks ago a list of issues that were spotted by members of the Policy Council, that is the PPSC, that is overseeing the efforts to work through the board's governance restructuring of the GNSO. And we have a list of issues here that were supplied to us. And so I think it's just best if we work through those. So we'll just start with the first one. The first one was there was some concerns, and I believe this is from the registries, who were concerned with the fact that our language seemed to focus predominantly on representational balance rather than skills-based balance. And they thought that a focus on representational balance could skew the work of work teams because there are certain situations where maybe a full representational complement would not want to participate because of the certain issue, and therefore it would be skills-based balance that would be important. I think that sort of sums up their concern. They have given us some language that they suggest, and so I will throw it open to the floor to your feelings on this. If we could use, if you're signed on to the Adobe, if you would use the little hand raising, and I'll do the cue from there. So I'd like to throw it open to everyone for discussion. Yonah.
Yeah, so on the kind of skill-based sub-teams opposed to representational balance, I'm like, this is something that the skill-based, what we discussed throughout the process here is that it's hard to kind of like somehow authenticate the skills. That it is always very, very kind of like subjective measure, whereas representational is more of an objective matter and can be seen a little bit easier like that. So that's kind of like how I a little bit feel about that. It's always difficult to say that who actually does have the skills and who doesn't. Who should we actually believe in that?
Okay, Cheryl.
Thank you, J. Scott. Just following on from what Jonathan has just said, it's not only, in my view, a challenge to authenticate. It's a challenge to ensure that you get work group members of the design skill set balance anyway, and I'll tell you why. Real life happens, as many of us on this call have been heartily reminded. And some people with particular skill sets simply can't commit to the extensiveness of some work groups, whereby the power of a work group, however balanced in its dynamic as a, as an open design, can and should, and I, the proposed guidelines do encourage and allow for that, bring in specific skills as required. And I think there's a difference between a mindset that's thinking about a make a call for people to put their hand up to become part of a work group, and then that becomes a closed shop and a sort of a bubble dynamic. And what these new guidelines and the way that GNSO is designing itself to do things in the future, whereby it's a far more open model and people can, in fact, be sought and, I guess, encouraged because of the need for their particular skill set to join in, but also that there is an ability to co-opt particular expertise in a sort of a short, sharp input as required. I'm not suggesting that skill set design is not important and that particular criteria such as, you know, a knowledge and understanding of fill in the dotted lines X, Y, Z should not be called for. But I don't think it's a deal breaker to say, oh, look, we're missing, you know, the accountant here. I think you can bring these in a, it's a different paradigm, I guess, is what I'm suggesting. And I'll stop prattling and I'll put my hand down.
Aubrey.
Yeah, hi. I think in reading their text, they really had two issues. One they had was that, yes, the skill set needs to be, as well as the representational. And I think that if there is a missing skill set, that can always be dealt with in terms of the getting expert advice or what have you. And I think, you know, Cheryl may have been tending towards that. She may have actually said it and I missed it, but I think on the representational side, it sort of had a view of not worrying about it quite as much.
I think you're right.
While worrying about the skills, decreasing the worry of representation, and they offered a rewrite, and I know I sent my comments in at last minute again, which is shameful, but...
But I thought you said you thought it was the rewrite was acceptable.
Essentially okay, although it thought it needed more in terms of if you find yourself in a representational deficit in attendance, then A, you gotta make some sort of outreach to try and rectify it. But B, you also, when it comes time to review, you needed to make an additional effort to make sure that you reached those missing people. And I think that that would apply on the skills as well.
Okay.
So I thought it was fine, but I thought it needed a little bit more.
I agree. And I'm thinking that we need to somehow, I mean, remember again, the GNSO, let's remember the concept that the board put into place, that the GNSO is supposed to manage this, right? And so I think it needs to be fleshed out, and I think there needs to be some language in there that our outreach should be made to the GNSO to assist with filling this capacity with the necessary representational skill sets. Spy?
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify something. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. This thing is saying that basically, I mean, the comment is, as far as at the working group level itself, there's no issue. It's all the language is okay. Basically, everybody accepts you must be representational as well as sort of have skill sets that you'll try to do both, right? But it's only when you make a subgroup, when you actually go off and make a subgroup, then the issue is the existing document kind of emphasizes representational more than the skill set aspect of it. Is that correct? I mean,
Let me make a suggestion.
Yeah.
Aubrey, since you think there needs to be a little more clarification here, could you take pen to that and take their language and clarify it? And if you've done that in your email, that's fine, but I'd just like you to recirculate it after this. If you've not, if you would do that, is that an acceptable thing for everyone?
I did put it in my email. I can certainly take a crack at touching there. there.
That accepts everyone.
Sorry, Avery, I hadn't seen your email. I apologize.
I sent it.
Basically,
this needs to be circulated anyway. So, Avery, if you would just do that and send it to Marika, and she'll incorporate it, and then we'll circulate it to the group.
Okay.
All right, let's move to our second issue. This has come up time and time again. I think it came up many times in our call, and this is the ability of a liaison, NSO liaison to a working group, to self-identify the statements or advocacy points they make in a working group are their own opinion. So our document talks about neutrality and being neutral, and they're saying that they believe the liaison should have the same ability as a chair, a neutral chair, to identify that at this point they are making an an opinion statement or an advocacy statement, and that language needs to be crafted to allow them that flexibility. Savai?
I don't have any issues with that, actually.
Okay, then you need to take your hand down. Anyone else?
Sorry, I had it from the last one. I still had a point regarding the last one, but that's okay.
I'm teasing you all day. Anyone else have a problem, think that's okay, don't want to do that?
No, I think it's fine.
Aubrey, you've raised your hand.
Yeah, I raised my hand, and I wrote about it in the statement. I guess I'm in the position of objecting. I think that the liaison, because it is really difficult. Yes, you could say I've taken my hat off, et cetera, and I'm now speaking as just another member of this group. But they are basically the link between the manager and that they therefore, no matter what they say about their opinion, because they are a crucial link in the appeals chain and because they represent the council in the working group, or they represent the chartering organization in the working group, actually should have to stay neutral. Because
okay.
The second they leave that neutrality, if there is an appeal related to that particular issue, then all of a sudden they become suspect. This is one thing. The other thing is anything they say, even if they say they have their hat off, has extra oomph to it.
Okay. Ms. Langdon-Orr.
Thank you. Again, sorry, Avery, I have not looked at emails in the last couple of hours, so I've not looked at this. So if I'm saying something that's in your text, I apologize. But I did want to bring some particular experience to this matter, having had relatively challenging experience with the board being unable to differentiate between what is the personal opinion of a liaison from the ALAC to the board and what is ALAC and at large specific instructions for the liaison to pass on to the board in board deliberations. This really is something that has to be very clearly identified. I suppose as we were crafting the text in the draft document, I had assumed it would be something that would be managed at the who sends the liaison, the chartering organisation end of the spectrum. But from this comment, I think it probably is well and truly worthwhile having a clear set of guidelines and specificities about that. And if you can't, Avery's correct, if a liaison says something, it simply has more power.
I tend to agree with both you and Avery, but also I think it's more of a practicality standpoint. I never saw a liaison as someone that would show up at every working group meeting. They're just a point of contact for the GNSO. So I think they don't serve the same role as a chair or a member of the team. They can come to every meeting, but I think that would become overwhelming at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just from a practicality standpoint, that's just not very practical, and because they're merely a point of contact, and because of all the reasons that you and all set forth, I think they should stay neutral. Sabah.
Yeah, just actually now listening to what the first two people said, I think it's pretty clear there, right? I mean, my point of view. I mean, if for example, an ICANN kind of board member decides to be, you know, kind of listening on the call because he's a liaison of some sort, we've had that kind of thing happen before. You know, if they say something, you know, it means a lot more than, you know, even if it's under neutrality. But so I think on reflection, I think that's reasonable. Now, the other thing is, I agree with what Scott says, a liaison, you know, is just a contact point, so that's true as well. Now, thirdly, I want to point out that we've allowed anybody to join this, right? I mean, essentially, if you were a liaison person and you had a particular point of view and you wanted to say something, there's nothing to stop you from getting that point of view across through asking someone else or whatever it is to join.
Absolutely.
I mean, correct?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, so I will, if you all don't mind, I know I'm a neutral chair, but to divvy up the work, I'd be happy to craft our reasoning for keeping this the way it is. You know, in our response back to the council, I'll take on to respond to that, if that's okay. I take it we're going to leave it as is, and I will do an explanation incorporating what we've talked about here today, and then, of course, the group will have the opportunity to weigh in on that.
It's okay with me.
Yonan, Aubrey, and Ms. Langdon-Orr?
Yep.
Sure thing.
Okay. Moving to three. And this is, to me, the great quagmire. This has to do with providing some sort of guideline or examples to assist with obtaining consensus. Now, I recently read the moral objections documents, and in a footnote, it describes their full consensus. I think that footnote could just be incorporated. I think it's perfect.
Avery's written one for a current work group called JAS as well, because it is very, very useful.
And I think we could put that in, and we could put it into the text. You know, I'm fine with something like that, but I think, you know, we can handle this, but I've seen it, and I thought the footnote, now, of course, I'm coming at this with experience that I can, but I thought it set out fairly clearly and succinctly. So, Ms. Langdon-Orr?
Yeah, no, I think it does need clarifying. Sorry, you can't take me to ask the pen, take a pen on anything. I fly out to Boston tomorrow morning for ATRT. Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
Aubrey,
but Avery already has text.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I can take, as Cheryl said, I already wrote another one up.
Okay.
I've taken that one into account. I can certainly look at making sure that the one I wrote up and the one they wrote up and do a composite of the
blank.
Okay. And anything that's missing from the one I already wrote or the one, whatever.
Okay,
but know that I wrote one, so I tend towards the one I wrote.
Well, that's okay. I'm just going to make you update your statement of interest to say that you did that.
I love writing statements of interest. You must know that.
And I want a footnote in your book or your article. All I'm asking. Okay, I think that's well settled, and we can move on from that one. Aubrey, thank you again for assisting us there. The next one is the comments by Mike Rodenbaugh. I can't imagine anybody would object to that, especially the way we've done our group. I think that we just need to cull through the document and make sure that this is clear. This is a comment for those who didn't cull through the materials, wherein he wants to make sure it's very clear that no major decisions are taken on calls, that they are actually taken by polling the list, there are people that don't participate as actively in the call because of language and technology barriers. I think that's how we've operated this group. I think it's a rational thing, and it's just that we need to call through and see if we can shore that up. Does anyone disagree with that?
Makes good practice sense to me.
Then why don't I work with Marika on that one?
Okay. Can I go back to the previous one? I agree with you there, but when we're finished on this one, can I go back to the previous one?
Unless someone else has another point on number four, we can go back to the previous one. Aubrey?
Okay. The point I had on that was, and perhaps I was, I got something wrong here. Because in their discussion, again, it's not on the short form, but in their discussion, I saw that there were a couple other issues. There was issue regarding the appeal, and in our document we say several participants, and they ask, isn't one enough? And in my note I said, yeah, it should be one is enough to start an appeal, or maybe it isn't, but we need to determine that that was one of their questions. And the other thing that they had was asking whether people, the issue about people associating themselves with issues. So those are two points that aren't covered in the consensus rewrite thingy that we were talking about. So
I'm sorry. So we've handled one issue, and that one issue is.
It's the glossary guideline,
right. Consensus. Okay, that one's, I'm sorry, you're so right. I'm in my haste to try to push us along, I skimmed over the other points. I apologize.
And I beg your forgiveness for being the one to point it out.
No, I think this is important. You know, an appeals process doesn't work unless one person has the ability to bring an appeal.
To trigger, yeah.
I mean, it can be found that it's a frivolous appeal. That's why you sort of have it looked at, correct? In our system, the liaison looks at it. I mean, it gets several looks. So, Aubrey, you've raised your hand.
Yeah. I have seen it work both ways, and I can find arguments for it both ways, so I think we just need to decide. I think when you say two people, three people, five people need to sign on, the one person goes and finds several people that agree. And you know, it's quite reasonable to say that one person isn't enough because, you know, every working group has experienced the one crazy. And so you should be able to get at least one other person to agree with you, even if they don't agree with your point, to agree that there's constant...
Or conceptually, you deserve a right to bring an appeal if they don't agree with your particular point. I don't have a problem.
So that's why it's sort of, I'm not sure. We need to answer it, and I'm kind of ambivalent. I mean, I've written charters elsewhere where I've said it's five people, and it's worked fine. So.
Okay. I'm going to recognize Sabai, and then, Cheryl, you sort of work with a large group of divergent interests as well, so I'd like to hear your viewpoint as well. Sabai?
My point is simply pretty much what Aubrey said. The thing is, the whole reason for saying that you need more than one person to trigger it is whether these people are serious, right? I mean, there's serious interest in appealing this, right? So I think if we do it as essentially a two-stage process, which is one person is allowed to appeal, but there's a certain amount of time, you know, a week or 2 weeks or something, where that person has to demonstrate that there's more than one vote interested in discussing this, right? You know, whatever that number be, so that then can go on to the next stage, right? I guess that's, you know, something that Aubrey's essentially saying as well. There's, you know, some limited, so you can screen these things that are just one person appeal that's not going to go anywhere.
Okay. Ms. Langdon Orr.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Sabah, for a perfect segue to what I started to type into the text chat space as well. To me, and believe me, I've spent more time as chair of the ALAC having ongoing case files open with the Ombudsman of ICANN because of the plethora of single voice issues that usually one, if not two people, will constantly bring up in a diverse group. It's the actual nature and efficiency of the appeal system that is important here. Within the at-large and ALAC context in ICANN, we have no set of rules that say for very important appeals issues or high triggering matters that only, you know, you have to have three or five, with the exception of the new petition process in the election guideline. Normally, a single point person raising something can trigger a review, but that review could be something as fast as a point of order in a meeting and a call for a view of the meeting to be heard and then move on. But you do have vexatious individuals out there. It's a sad fact of life. And one of the counterpoints to having someone bring something to a screaming halt because of appeals being put forward when it has a single-person trigger point is to have a very efficient appeals process. And it's rather nice, from my perspective, to have been able to just get on with the job a lot and have a very effective outside of interfering with our work review going on with Ombudsman. Now, ALAC has never been, with the exception of once before I was chair, found in error by that appeals mechanism, but it's a rare thing for us not to have someone suggesting we're doing something wrong and having us going through that. But it's the efficiency and systematic mechanisms that are important. And if it's taking weeks, Sabaya, it's probably taking too long, because you'll find the appeal will come in at the most time-critical point to derail something if it is a vexatious issue.
Well, what I would suggest is I would suggest to the group that I like appeals, the idea that Sabai has done. I do believe 2 weeks is too long. I think perhaps we should allow an individual to raise the possibility of an appeal and then give them a time certain to demonstrate that they have. And Aubrey, what would you think is, you know, demonstrate that they have two or three, five? I mean, what number?
Yeah, I think three.
Okay.
Three works. Yeah.
Can I ask you, Aubrey, to also take pen with regards to that?
Or Aubrey.
I mean, if you don't, I can do it.
Let me do it. I'm holding pen on a document I'm trying to finish in the next 2 weeks.
Let me tell you, I'll do that, but I'm going to stick you with this next one because I think you're passionate about it. I'll do the appeal.
Well,
right? Is that a compromise?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm just going to make notes here. I've agreed. I just want to catch up real quick. Where are we?
You're on the second aspect, the third aspect.
But I want to make sure I know who's assigned to do what. So let's stop real quick and make sure I'm making notes here. Aubrey, you were going to look at the point one, right?
Yeah.
Just
and part of point three.
And then I'm going to do the rationale for point two.
Right. I'm doing part one of part
point three.
Okay.
There's two of part three, which you're doing. Now there's three of part three.
I'm going to make you do that. You're already going to do that. Okay.
Yeah, you already told me that. However.
I want to make sure the group has a consensus position on this. So, Aubrey, I'm going to let you start off because you're passionate about this. You've already sort of circulated something about this. And then we'll, from your discussion, we'll move on to others. So, go first.
Okay, the third point they have in... And that's only because I was doing my homework, not because I was being particularly passionate.
I'm sorry. I'm going to nail you on this one. You're passionate about this issue, so go ahead.
I guess I am passionate about accountability and transparency. Definitely an advocate for a position there. So this one is basically saying that people shouldn't necessarily need to associate themselves with a viewpoint. And what I wrote is, though I do not think that all consensus points need a listing of who agrees and who doesn't, is if you have near consensus and you have a small minority, you don't necessarily need to do a roll count of who feels what about what. But if someone wants to make a specific point as opposed to riding with the group, they should be willing to be named, is the issue I'm making. So that you shouldn't be able to make a specific point.
I think that's completely rational. And the reality is, if it's being transcribed or if it's being recorded, that happens anyway.
Exactly.
Me.
And but a lot of people have, with good reason, argued that when something is just recorded, for example, just so you know, like in the NCSC, we get transcription. People are fairly free about what happens to the recording, but the transcription, all of a sudden you have something where somebody can do a quick search for everything you've said about anything.
Yep.
And they get a little bit more nervous. And then when a final report actually quotes you, they get even more nervous.
Well, you know, then people just have...
I'm just pointing out people's psychology. I
agree, but at some point people have to censor their own behaviors. And if that is a concern of yours, then you need to zip it. Sabai. Hello?
Sabai again. Yeah, in the discussion that some related issue popped up in my head, which is the distinction between a representative who represents a stakeholder group or even any group, I mean, identified. That means that they join the working group identifying themselves as representing some group of people. In that instance, it may be, I'm not sure whether we want to require that those names always be identified, what position they're taking, as opposed to someone else who's not actually representing a group of people?
Well, I mean, the reality is, if somebody, because this has happened at the IPC,
mm-hmm.
we had somebody that was saying they were a representative of the IPC and nobody knew who the hell they were.
Mm.
So I think you do need to identify them, because if it becomes controversial
mm-hmm.
or somebody wants to object, they need to know where that's coming from and how to find those people. We didn't know if perhaps we had made an error in our record-keeping. I mean, it wasn't to persecute someone. It was to clarify for a bunch of constituents who were like, who is this person representing us? We have no record of them. Cheryl, you've got your hand raised.
I was just going to support you on what you were saying there. It's a great concern, particularly as you get larger and larger work groups and you've got, or not so much size, but the variety. You're not working with the usual suspects for people to be identified. And indeed for that self-identification to be ratifiable because we've also had issues where claims have been made that, XYZ is representative of ABC Group, and the fact that I happen to be on the board of ABC Group is the reason I go, really? Because we've never heard of you.
The reality is that many people don't read the statements of interest.
Yes.
But if you've supplied that anyway, you've identified your name and your association. So we're not asking you to do anything that you aren't required to do anyway, just under the transparency provisions.
The issue is whether someone wants to protect their own name in relation to the position they're making, right? I mean, that's the issue that's coming up here, which is, look, I'm behind some point, but I don't want to put my name to it, right? My point is, whether or not we allow that, it would seem that in certain cases that should not be allowed, and that is if, because looking at the history, the existing stakeholder groups, right, the various registries, registrars, whatever, right, if they have a person on board and they have a position that represents them, in those cases, I'm not sure whether you'd want them to be silent on their name being attached to that position because they're representing a actual stakeholder group. I mean, if you're going to let anybody go, I don't, from refraining from putting their name against something, I don't think it should be the cases where they're representing a, you know, a very solid organized group in the structure of GNSO. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make. Maybe we should just insist that everybody should put their names on everything. That's also.
I think that Aubrey's balance is the correct one. If they take consensus vote and everyone is, they say we've got strong consensus, you know, or something. But if you want to put in a minority report, you have to identify yourself. If you're not going with the flow of the majority, and I mean, you're already listed as a member of the working group. You submitted a statement of interest. I don't think they have to every time say, we had full consensus, which means J. Scott, Sabai, Cheryl Langdon Orr.
That's right. Yep.
That gets ridiculous.
Yeah, it's that. I put my hand back up, Joe Scott. It's that in the minority issue. It's the same as in other board balances. You can have your name recorded against something, and I think it's that. You know, I want to be on the record as being in opposition to. That's fine. It's far too time consuming and cumbersome to do it the other way. So I think the balance that Avery seems to be describing is important. But having the ability to have your name recorded is very useful, but it also comes back to when it's a representational role. There will be, for example, a time, hasn't happened yet, but it's come very close, where as representing the ALAC, I have put forward the at-large and ALAC view. It's at absolute opposition to my core values. Right? I do not believe in that view personally. And okay. I need to be very sure that if I'm putting a minority opinion across in a call for consensus, that I'm able to say the ALAC agrees, but I would like my name as an individual recorded against it.
And I think that's exactly. I think their concern with is that people would put together positions and try to do it anonymously, as I remember reading. And I think what we've come forward with is no. Unless it's something where they say full consensus and they don't list everybody that was in the room. So, Aubrey, you seem to have put something together that sort of is that balance. This will be the last thing I ask you to do, but could you take the on that one?
Sure thing. Yeah, I'll look at it. So,
okay.
as I understanding, people are agreeing that not only do you have a right to name yourself specifically, but that especially in a case like Cheryl was expressing where she has put in both ALEC's viewpoint and her own, she doesn't have a right to say, but don't put my name next to my own. Just say someone in the group said...
Right, no, you have to self-identify.
Okay, great. Yeah,
exactly.
With that.
Yes.
And
you have to do examples like that to know what I'm talking about. But.
Right, and in the event that someone has a problem with that, then they need to, like Sabai pointed out, find another way to get that on the record.
Yeah.
And... there are a lot of people who like to walk up to microphones that I can. I'm sure you could find somebody.
Slip them a few bucks down the back of the room. It'll be right.
Well, Mr. Foodie is always looking for something to do. All right. Comments submitted
As a funny thing, I mean, anytime somebody has something they're afraid to say about freedom of expression, they know the three of us to come to and say,
yeah.
Hey, you know, wouldn't you like to mention this thing for freedom? Oh, yeah, sure, I'll go do that.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that one. Yeah, thanks.
There's a whole microeconomic model to be developed there.
Okay. We need to... INTA and IPC are concerned, and I'm putting forth... These are their comments. Mm-hmm. They would like some sort of definition of what is a quorum. So, what do you all think? My problem is, you know, we wouldn't be able to have this working group if we had a quorum requirement for calls. Now, I do believe we have sort of a quorum requirement for approval of text because it goes to the list. But I'm concerned about using terms like that for the fear nothing will get done.
I agree with you, Jay Scott. I'm very wary of the quorum with calls versus the very sensible approach of the hard yakka can be done on calls, providing it's more than just one person talking to themselves, or even then maybe still it might work, I don't know. But when it comes to decision making, you have both a call and a full ratification of a work group on list model, which we've already agreed to. Because if you're one short of quorum, you know, you're wasting everyone's time. And to define quorum usually involves, you know, percentages of totals and et cetera, et cetera. It's scary stuff and can be extremely, maladaptive and sucks the energy out of some groups.
I do think we could say that you need to, maybe we could divide it somehow and say, well, you know, an action won't be taken unless it's posted to the list, and or something like that. I mean, I think we could work out, but let me let Yonan go.
Yeah, so basically, I wouldn't echo that what Cheryl already said, and I think that if we shortly ask for a quorum, that's also very then easy to actually block the kind of like anything that the worker does. How IETF has done this is basically that the decision isn't a decision if you haven't asked consensus on the mailing list. But you usually have, after a meeting, already a good feeling of which direction it will go. But it's just the confirmation has to be done in the mailing list. And we can, of course, do something like that if we're worried about the quorum thing.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to put numbers because I don't know, like, how many people do we have in this work team, and how many of them actually come to the meetings?
So, yes, and personally, I find it much easier to put a, you know, approval by ascension, where I send out, and I've used this one several times to say, you know, here's what we're going to do, unless I hear an objection.
Yes.
And the only reason I do that is because I don't want to receive 50 emails saying yes. I'd much rather
receive
4 or 5 saying no.
Right.
So, Sabai.
Yeah, obviously, they just want some clarification here. So I think it's fair. I mean, I'm agreeing with everybody. Basically, when it comes to an actual decision, we do it essentially by quorum, I guess, on the email. And the quorum is basically, by definition, I sent you an email. You didn't reply, right? I mean, that's as long as you didn't get enough objections. So that sorts that out in terms of actual specific decisions. But in terms of meetings, you know, where nothing actually gets decided per se, then I think the idea of quorum should also exist only to the extent that, you know, you can't have a meeting, as said, with one person. So, but the definition of that quorum should be kind of loose and left up to the chair. I mean, and if anybody's upset, they can appeal it.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I'll take this section. The next point was that the chair should have to affirmatively confirm that there is inclusive representation and not over-representation. I don't think they should do that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that one.
Yeah.
Well, that gets into a subjective stuff, and, you know, at some point the GNSO is going to have to step up and manage this process, and that's something that they should do. So I just don't think they need to affirmatively. That just leaves everybody to start bickering. Sabai, then we'll go to Yonan, then we'll go to Aubrey.
Yeah, I agree with the affirmative confirmation, but is there any language there that basically says that, you know, that we'll also strive, besides striving for you know, good representation, that we're also striving to make sure there's no over-representation. I mean, that's, you know, just what we're trying to do. No, neither under nor over-representation. We're striving to do that as opposed to affirmatively confirm.
Yes, there's language about over-representation.
Okay.
In the last sentence. Similarly, if the chair is of the opinion that there is over-representation to the point of capture, she should inform the chartering organization. So I think that safeguard is there. I've noticed hands have gone down. Aubrey.
Okay, yeah. I guess the point I had on it is the affirmative takes us into all sorts of bad because it basically, to say that I'm balanced, to say I don't have too many, does that mean I can kick people out?
Yeah.
And that does become a problem. I think that we have to reiterate, make sure it says it, that the chair has to give an accurate picture of what the case is. And again, there's the whole outreach negotiation. You know, if you see there's too many people from one particular set, whether it's company, point of view, or whatever, talk to them, you know, see if you can get them not to gang up on everybody
right.
else, et cetera. So you have to
I think
issues,
some of these comments, and I'm going
out.
To talk out of school here, but I think some of these comments are because people have not participated in the ICANN process. Because I've never seen problems with this.
Mm.
You know, I know there have been conspiracy theorists involved in everything. But for the most part, I think it's a bunch of people donating their time trying to do the right thing. And so I think, that, you know, that's just another procedural thing to fight over, and I think that there are enough safeguards in place. I think the current language works. Any disagreements? Okay. I think that C, they say, working groups should also consult, depending on the subject matter, with technical experts. Well, we've already said that. I don't know where they're getting that. We said that you should be able to call in an expert. So I think it's covered. Does anyone disagree?
No, I think that I don't, you know, when we say experts, to me, that means not just technical experts. It also means brand owners and the legal experts.
Absolutely. But there, so in other words, I think it's covered. We say expert. And it's an expert that the working group believes that they need to bring in for their expertise, whatever that might be. Okay. And then they go on and on about this, that we don't have sensitive information. You know, the SOIs and the DORIs are what they are.
Yeah.
And all we can do is tell people that they're going to be made public. And then they have to self-censor or contact the GNSO and seek to have, because we didn't come up with a criteria for the SOI or DOI. That was the Operations Steering Committee. So I just think all you can do is tell them it's public. And if they have some problem with that, then they need to work that out with the GNSO.
If I can add, I don't think there's anything that the SOI DOI actually requires that
I don't think
terribly
so either.
Confidential. I mean, you know, okay, sometimes you're making a specific point, and if you're weird like me, you self-out yourself a little bit more than most people would. But by and large, there's really nothing that it's asking for.
You know, the same people that are going to complain about this will tell you the last time they had a bowel movement on their Facebook. So I, you know, really care less. So, you know, I'm just like, come on. At some point, it has to be rational, right? If you are a Chinese dissident and you have a problem, you're already sensitive to these issues, and you know that this is an issue, and you will handle it accordingly.
Thank you for that, Jay Scott. That's
well,
right. My day.
I guess we have already said in the document that, look, anything you're giving to us to put up on the web as an SOI or a DOI is going to be public anyway. So if you've got some sensitive information, don't bother giving it to us, right?
Absolutely.
We've safeguarded ourselves. Okay.
Yeah, I think we're covered. Okay. Now, here's something that I agree with, and it hasn't been done very clearly. Number six is that they believe we did a good job of it, but I don't think it's always been done, is that when you receive public comment, that the working group should then reply back to why they took action one way or another based on public comment. Aubrey?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I don't know what a formal response is. In fact, when I see formal response, I think, dear sir, thank you for your comment. You know,
yeah, I just think we say should respond.
But we have to have a substantive and well-thought-out response. Didn't we say that? I mean, I haven't gone back and read it.
I'll check.
Yeah, we should beef it up because that's definitely a...
Okay. I don't think we should say respond. I think what you're actually looking for is explain rationale. Because you're either going to say we did it XYZ because or we didn't XYZ because, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'll take on that one.
And I think more and more groups are doing it these days. So
I think they are.
But can I just say, it needs to be recognized just for our record, basically because of the good job done by this work team in doing that and setting a benchmark.
I would have to say that we have, I have privately been told that we should all be very proud of ourselves. So,
okay,
I'm
going
to
my
Facebook.
You know
how much I think of all of you and how hard you've worked. So, all right, at this point, we have got 7 to go through. What I'm going to ask is that we think about 7 offline. Can we do a call next Wednesday, same bat time, same bat channel? I think we can wrap this up.
Can you tell me what time it will be in America, and then I can tell you yes or no?
You can tell me where you're going to be in America.
I'm going to be in Boston.
That's 2:30.
2:30 in the afternoon or in the evening? In the morning?
In the afternoon, 2:30 to 3:00
is
what we are now in the Boston.
What time would work for you in Boston?
What day would it be? Sorry.
Wednesday.
It'd be yesterday. So.
No, can't do it. ATRT's still on all day.
Okay.
But that's
Cheryl,
right.
I can.
That doesn't matter. Run it anyway, and yeah. So I'll miss one meeting.
Okay. Let's do the same call next week. No action will be taken online until we circulate everything online for you to review anyway.
Just note my apology.
I'm not sure whether I'll be able to make that meeting, but will that be pretty much the last meeting for this group?
Well, generally what I will do is we would probably have one more meeting after we have gone through everything and we've circulated the language to everybody.
Okay.
That'd be good, yeah.
So my goal would be to have next week is, let's see, the 13th, correct? Today's the 6th. So
correct,
the 13th,
yep.
So I would say the 20th would be our last meeting, which means we would get it circulated to the list, and I'm hoping that we would be done with this by at least the 30th or the 1st of November, which means it would make it in time to be considered in Cartagena.
Perfect.
As I say, I'll probably miss the last two meetings, but that doesn't matter because I'm...
Well, if you get your homework in, even at the last minute, you'll be okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, they're in my diary. Just note my apologies. I might sneak into the Adobe room and wave at you perhaps, but...
Okay. Well, I want to at this point call this meeting to a close. I want to thank those who have participated. I want to remind any listeners to this call that there will be text that is going to be prepared and circulated to the list. We're going to consider the last point that was submitted by the IPC in our next week's call. And then that, of course, if there are textual changes, will be sent around to everyone for consideration before any final positions are taken or consensus calls are made. I want to thank you all for attending today. Sabai, please, please, please take care of yourself and your wonderful family, and we all wish you the very, very best. And
thank
everyone
you.
Else, we will talk to you again in the future. Ciao.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ciao.